Just as we go to the Lord in prayer, praying about other things for just for a moment, I want to remind you, if you have not been water baptized, if you have not followed the commandment of the Lord to be water baptized, then mark your calendar for July the 10th. That is a Sunday. We'll be baptizing after the second service, and there are sign-up sheets there in the lobby for that. And also, if you're, I would like for you to join with me this morning, or tonight, whatever day it is, okay? You know, for that little two-year-old boy, that it broke my heart this morning. His name is Lane Graves, and he was there at Walt Disney World in Florida and at the Grand Floridian, one of the greatest resorts, literally most beautiful in the world. They have a little lake right there at the resort where parents go. And he was in 6 inches of water when a little, not a little, but an alligator took him. And the father desperately fought with the gator, but it didn't, the little boy's dead. And so I want to start by praying for him, but I also, the family, but I also want to pray for the heinous events in Orlando and the horrible things that this nation is facing and how the church needs to be people who pray again, because we're the only ones who can make a change in our nation. Amen. So with all that being said, let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for Jacob and Tyler and Kaylee, Lord, Peru bound. Oh, how much glory and fun and excitement it's going to be for them. And Lord, as we've said, there and back, perfect protection. And Lord, we lift up the family of little Lane tonight, knowing that the father who desperately tried to save his little boy, his heart is ripped out of his chest. Lord, the whole family, somehow only the God of all comfort could be there to just touch them, oh God. We surround them with your love and your grace. And Lord, for the deadliest mass shooting in our country's history that left nearly 50 dead and 50 wounded, radical Islam, the things that are happening in our land. Lord, if there's some way when the enemy comes in like a flood, lift up a standard against him. Touch our nation and bring healing. We're a house divided, Father. Our nation is divided and disintegrating. Bring revival. We ask that, O Lord. And tonight, Father, we pray as we get into one of the great prayers of the Bible, that specifically, Lord, as I teach it, I teach it, Lord. I teach it for Jacob, and I teach it for Tyler, and I teach it, Lord, for Kaylee. May they hear it, embrace it, and may the church embrace it as well. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3 tonight as we look at our God who is able, our God who is able. We're in a summer series. Now, we don't know how long that's going to last before we start 2 Samuel. It may be at the end of this month or maybe at the end of July, whenever the Lord says enough is enough and we go another direction. But the great prayers of the Bible, this one was penned by Paul in his first Roman imprisonment. And it is an incredible prayer. People have called this prayer the most majestic prayer in all of Paul's epistles, and some even claim that this is the greatest prayer even in the whole written word of God. What I want us all to see tonight, even though that Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, he's actually praying for all of us. And not only that, you need to remember that this prayer was given by divine inspiration of God. Amen? And so it is our Father's desire and his longing that all of the things in this prayer, that they literally become ours. It's for all his people. And so this prayer, written from a prison cell there, like I said, in Rome, his first imprisonment, and most of our praying has to do with, you know, things like, Lord, our physical needs and our material needs and so forth. Paul doesn't pray anything like that. And it's my prayer for the three young people that are leaving this week that they realize that, you know, the things that we really need, like Paul expresses, not out here, but in here, Paul is going to pray for our inner man, our inner woman. Amen? And how important that is. And so that will be his focus, not material needs, not physical needs and so forth, but the deep inner needs of the man, of the woman is what? Is to experience the things that God has given unto us. That's why I say when you follow Jesus, it is always an adventure. The moment they step out of the plane and land there, get on that bus, it is an adventure in our Lord. Amen? Now, with all that being said, let's look at verse 14 at this prayer of Paul's. And he goes this. He says, "And for this reason, I bow my knees." That's not the posture of a Jewish man, but he is overtaken with emotion, intense emotion, if you will. And he's bowing his knees and he says, "To the Father, I'm so thankful that we have a Father that art in heaven." And he says, "For our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven is named." That's not universalism, just to make sure you understand that. But what he's praying here is that, you know, he's talking about the ones that are already born again into the family of God, those that are redeemed, heaven and earth, meaning they're one family. We have family in heaven, amen? Yes, we're one family. But Paul says this in his prayer. He says, "For this reason." What reason? Well, if we read the whole book of Ephesians, we would know it was the mystery of the ages. Christ in me, the hope of glory, and so forth. It would be the creation of one new man, a Gentile and Jew, making one new man. And we could go back and study it all out. The reasons is that, like it says in Ephesians 2:5, we've been made alive in Christ. Ephesians 2:10, we're his workmanship and so forth. And then our Father, out of all the people in the world, we are uniquely his. Isn't that great to know? We are uniquely his. You see, if we went through Ephesians, we would find out that we were God's building. We would find out we're Christ's body, that we're Christ's bride, and that we're that one new man. We're also, we would read that we're the temple of the living God, the dwelling place of God. And we would find out that we are the church, literally unlimited on earth, because only the church is forever triumphant. No one else is. We win no matter what. Amen? Now, with all that being said, we are the church that Christ governs from, literally from the entire universe. You know, when Paul fell on his knees there in verse 16, praying this, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with what? Might. That's that power of God. How? Through his Spirit. And where does he want that power to reside? In the inner man. And listen, it says there, according to the riches of his glory. Do you know how, when we think about the riches of his glory, would you say that God's glory is unlimited? Yes. Would you say his riches have no boundaries? If he doesn't have it, he can say, "I'll just create it." That's the God that these three are leaving, and that's the God that they serve. Amen? He says, "If I don't have it, I'll make it for you." How do you like that? It says, according to his riches and according to his glory. I read a story not too long ago by J. Wilbur Chapman. Let me read it to you. Talking about a father. It says, "I got off the Pennsylvania Depot as a tramp, and for a year I begged on the streets for a living. And one day I touched a man on the shoulder and said, 'Hey, mister, can you give me a dime?' And as soon as I saw his face, I was shocked to see that it was my very own father. And I said, 'Oh, father, father, do you know me?' And throwing his arms around me with tears in his eyes, he said, 'Oh, my son, at last I found you. I have found you. You want a dime? Everything I have is yours.' Think of it. I was a tramp. I stood begging my own father for 10 cents when for 18 years he had been looking for me to give me all that he had." That is the God that we serve. Amen? He's the one that says, listen, look what Paul prays again. He says, "Oh, that he would grant you." You don't have to, that's the means to give it to you. You don't have to earn it. That he would give you according to the riches. Not riches, but according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Listen, you know, we talk about power. I don't have any power. Yes, you do. You have all the power that you need if you're a believer. Did you know over and over and over and over throughout the entire Bible, God says, my power is available to every believer, every believer. You know, when Jesus there in Luke 24:49, he says, but ye tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with what? Power. Power from where? From up on high. And when they got there in the upper room, what did they get? They got the power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the dunamis of God. They were all filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the ability and the power of God. That's what the Lord wants you to know tonight. That whenever you serve him, you have all the power that you need. Amen? Now look at Ephesians 1, 18 with me, and let's carry this thought a little bit further here about this power. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, in other words, wake them up, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward whom? Toward us. Why? Because we believe in the Lord according to the working or the energy of his mighty working power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in heavenly places. You know, when I read something like that, I ask myself a question. I say, where in the world is the church hiding? I mean, can you imagine the power that is living in us right now, right this minute? Are we the temple of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Christ in me, the hope of glory, in me right now, in you. And I think about all this prayer, all of this power. First of all, it says we have resurrection power. We have so much power living in our lives right now because God is in us. Listen, we are partakers of his divine nature. Amen? Okay. Giving us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, listen, to have the power residing in us that raised Christ from the dead. Man, I don't know about you, but that's power. It's in us, operating as he wills when we believe. Not only that, we have the power, it says there that I just read, that not only did raise the Lord from the dead, but made him ascend unto heaven. It says he has seated him, let me read it again, that and seated him at the right hand of God in heavenly places. I don't know about you, but that's power. No wonder that Paul the Apostle said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. No wonder Paul wrote in Romans 8:11 when he was talking and he said this. He said, but the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Can you believe that? Dwells in me. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Loved one, listen. That resurrection power resides tonight in all of us. It resides in Tyler and Kaylee and Jacob. They're going out, and the moment that they go out in obedience to the Lord, you know what happens? There's a spring in the step and a power in your heart. And there's a voice called the Holy Spirit who speaks to you to turn to the right or turn to the left or stand still or speak. That's what God does. You see, we have resurrection life in us now, but we also have it in the future as well. Amen? Oh, yeah. Listen, that same Holy Spirit. You know what? I'll tell you, with all of this power today, the reason that you say, well, Bill, you're always praying for revival, da-da-da-da-da. Well, loved one, we need revival. If you don't believe me, you know, just think of, I mean, I don't want to be mean. Don't think I'm being mean right now, but I am being honest. I love you. You know, do you want a pastor who patty cakes you? Do you want a pastor who blows smoke? Let me tell you how powerful the church is in America. We have all this power. And yet, if I passed out a sign-up sheet right now that said, nursery worker, our pen would run out of ink. We're so powerless, we won't do this or do that. The littlest things in the world. I'm not, say, Bill, you're beating on me. No, I'm saying, why are we living like beggars when we don't have to? Why don't we believe what God says? You know what? The reason the church walks in such weakness at times is because they have forgotten what we have, who we have, and who we are. No, listen, we're the supernatural family of God that is dwelling in a land that is falling apart. I got received a phone call today from Florida, there right at close to Orlando, and the person asked me, said, Bill, what are we going to do with our nation? What are we going to do? It is disintegrating before our very eyes. And I said, there's only one thing that can save us, and that is Almighty God, a move of God. That's the only thing. That would bring us back from drowning like we are. Listen, it's incredible. Here we are. We have someone that's living in us. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, but a power and a sound mind. Amen? That power. Listen, Jesus doesn't make weak men and women. He doesn't do that. He makes strong men and women. He makes powerful men and women. That's what this prayer is all about. And verse 16 says, and you need to be strengthened in your inner man, in your inner woman, empowered. And you know what? That will never happen, Christian, unless you feed yourself. You have to have a spiritual diet. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, hey, we don't lose heart, meaning we don't faint, we don't quit, we don't give up, and he tells us why. He says, well, even if the outward man is perishing, meaning suffering decay, falling apart, listen to what he says, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How do you renew your inward man day by day? That's what Paul prayed. Have you ever prayed Paul's prayer? I mean, and you pray it, where you came up with it. You know what I'm saying? What a prayer. He says, man, listen, every believer, God wants you to be in the inner man. He wants you to be so empowered. It's the greatest need. And you know what? The reason Paul didn't faint in that adversity when things got tough, he never looked to his physical strength. He always looked to his spiritual strength. He looked to the inner man. He looked to Christ in him, the hope of glory. He looked to the Holy Spirit who had empowered him. Now listen, all of us, the three young adults that are leaving, you have to feed your inner man. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The Word of God becomes more living bread out there than it does right here. It becomes your diet, and it becomes, and the prayer time increases. Your prayers are more sincere. If something happens when you step away, when you leave your comfort zone, and you start serving God in spirit and in truth. Oh, I'll tell you, there's only one way that we can strengthen our inner man. Romans 12, remember what it says, and it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we do something, that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, our logical worship. And then it tells us in verse 2, here's the secret of our inner man, and be not conformed, don't be molded, if you will. Do not be conformed to this what? To this world. But be ye transformed. Where? In the inner man. Be ye transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. You see, the devil has a plan for your outer man. God has a plan for your inner man. And if you don't feed the inner man, the inner woman, you know what happens? You start starving to death on the inside. And whichever one you feed the most, loved one, you know that's the one that's going to win. Amen? What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 4:4? He said, but man should not live. It is written, man shall not live on this planet. Man, all of us, woman, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. All 66 books. Amen? How we need that desperately. Now look at verse 17. This prayer continues. And look what he does. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He's with you. Every circumstance, no matter what you're facing, you feel circumstances. Amen? Yes, you feel it. It's like how you kind of feel like it's hot in here right now. That's because you know why? We have 3 AC units out in the church today. Now, how did that happen? Never mind. And one of them happens to be right here. Now, you know, the thing is that, you know, Christ may dwell. That means to settle down. It means to be at home, that we, by faith. That's what pleases God, and so forth. And so it's that permanent, perpetual, unbroken habitation. Like the Bible says in John 14:23, and Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll come to him and make our home, make our dwelling place with him. Now look at it here. Paul's praying, here it comes, that you, every one of you, me, all of us, that you, being rooted, being literally being rooted like a plant, and grounded, or literally established like a building in religion. Oh, I'm sorry. In knowledge. Oh, I was reading the NIV. I'm sorry. Only teasing, okay? That you being rooted and grounded in love. What a prayer. Paul prays for every believer, all the family of God, and God is in perfect agreement. He says, listen, I want all of you to be rooted in the soil called love. That's the only way for a Christian to grow, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Your neighbor is yourself. Amen? There's no other. Jesus, the commandment that our Lord gave, that we to love one another. Oh, listen, you look at this and say, that's what I want. I want to be rooted in that kind of soil. I want to be grounded. The word grounded means established. It means a foundation. It means that love is the Christian's foundation. Love. Love never fails. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. The great commandment, or the new commandment that Jesus gave us, one of our vision statements here in John 13:34-35, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's the new part, as I have loved you. And he says, and by this, everyone will know. Everyone will know there in Lima. Everyone will know in Peru. Everyone will know at the college. Everyone will know in the streets, the marketplaces that you go through. They're going to say, who are these people? And they're going to say, there's something different. You know what it is? Because they're rooted and they're grounded in the love of God. By this, Jesus said, all will know that you are my disciples. McLaren put it this way, great expositor of the word in the 1800s. He said, he that is rooted and grounded in love has their roots in his being. I love that. Now, not only that, when we're rooted and grounded in love, watch this now, we're able to do something. Paul's continuing to pray, and he says, that you may be able to comprehend, or literally make it your own, or lay hold upon, that you may comprehend with all the saints. What? Well, what is the width? What is the length? What is the depth? What is the height? To know, meaning that's a gnosko, to know by experience, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you think that's just sentimental praying? No, that is real praying about a true reality that can be the true reality of every believer. Now, I look at that and I say, oh, Paul, well, I pray. God, answer this prayer now. Right this minute, let us not only apprehend, but let us comprehend all that Paul was praying. This love is not our love for the Lord. This is his love for us. How great is his love for us? It says, man, what is the width? What is the length? What is the depth? What is the height? It says the love of Christ for us passes knowledge, all understanding. If we could only grasp that Jesus isn't mad at you, Jesus is not condemning you, that there's not a moment that Jesus is not loving us. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, no matter this experience here, no matter how much we experience the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, listen to me now, there are oceans and oceans and oceans more of his love that we can still experience in our life. And this certainly isn't head knowledge. This is heart knowledge. And watch this in verse 19. And there it is again, gnosko, to know by experience, to experience this, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled, that's overflowing, that's saturated with how much of the fullness of God? All of it. I don't understand that, do you? To be filled with all the fullness of God. The word pleru, meaning complete or filled, saturated or whatever. I was talking to the men on Men's Fellowship Sunday about this. The word means to be like pleru means to take a glass of water and you fill it to the very brim where there's nothing in it but water. Or you take an individual such as yourself or myself and you fill it with the fullness of God and there's nothing else left but the fullness of God. There's nothing else in it. It's all full of God. Amen? That's what God wants for us, where we're all full of the Lord, all of the time. His fullness is overflowing out of our life. All of his goodness, all of his mercy. We love like he loves. We react like he reacts. We forgive like he forgives. We see the lost as he sees them. Amen? That's what it's all about. He said, oh, that you would be filled. Look at Ephesians 1:22. Watch this with me now. It says, and he put all things under his feet, meaning Jesus, and gave him, meaning the Lord Jesus, to be head over how many things? And look to whom? To the church, that's us, which is his body, that's you and me. The fullness of him who fills all and all. Listen, we're not only his body. Jesus is not only totally over us, he is completely in us, amen? Oh, how we need to get that. We're the fullness. And if we are the fullness of Christ on this earth, the body of Christ, then we are to do something. We're to manifest Jesus to this world. The Bible says in Colossians 2:9, it says, in him, meaning Jesus, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are, present facts, you are complete. That's that word pleru again. Filled to the brim, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. John 1:16, and of his fullness, meaning the fullness of Jesus, we have all received grace for grace. Paul said, I'm praying that the fullness of Christ be manifested to this lost, dying world. Amen? That's what it's all about. No wonder Paul bowed his knees, fell upon his knees, that fullness of God. Listen, to be full of God means there's not any room for anything else, meaning except the Lord. Now, God wants us to be filled with himself. You know, it says in Ephesians 1:23, it says, which is his body, the fullness of him again, which fills all and all. You know, I told the men on Sunday, I said, what is the one single command that 99.9% of the corporate church breaks daily? One single command. And there were excellent answers. Some of the men said adultery, and I said, 99% of the church committing adultery? No, that's not it. You know how men are. Hello, you know. I'm joking, guys. If you were there, come on, lighten up. And they would give me, and they were close, and you know, it was very good, everything they said. But the one single command that the 99% of Christians break every day, they don't know they're breaking it, probably. They don't even think about breaking it. They don't even think that they are breaking anything, is Ephesians 5:18. where it says the imperative in the Greek there, the command, it says, and be ye filled with the Spirit. Did you know that is a command for every day? That's not the upper room. The upper room has already occurred. That's not the upper room. That's not, well, I need more power. No, no, no. God says, I want you to be pleru, filled. That word means to be permeated. It means to be totally dominated by the Spirit of God. Whatever the Holy Spirit says, you do. You know, and we break that every day. And like, let me ask you, how many of you, and don't raise your hands or anything like that and make yourself feel bad, but how many of you wake up every morning and say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit today. I want to be totally dominated by the Holy Spirit of God. I want my eyes to be totally dominated by the Spirit of God. I want my mouth, my thinking, my walk, everything I do, the reflection, the tone of my voice, the way my face looks, everything I do, be dominate me. If you would pray that the very first thing, the Lord would fill you every day. You see, that's a command. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. And you know, the thing is that God's commandments are always our enablements. He would never tell us, command us to do something, and then say, ah, well, you can't do it. You're not worth 2 cents anyway, but you know. No. He says, ask. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, how much more will the Heavenly Father give it to you? Listen, we need the filling. You go through the Bible, you'll find out that Peter, Paul, they were filled over and over and over. We need a fresh filling every day to live in a darkened world that we live in. And if all the church would do that, do you know what would be happening? Revival would be breaking out among us. And Lord, it's your will, not my will. Whatever you want is what I want. That's right there. That's why God needs to send revival and wake us all up again. And look at the closing prayer that he says now in verse 20. And now unto him who is able, our God who is able to do what? To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we what? That we ask. When's the last time you asked something so difficult for God that he couldn't do? All that we think, what? How's that going to happen? Well, here it is. Are you ready? According to the power that works where? In us, not in the world. The power that's working with us, who? His bride, his body, his church, the one new man. God says, oh, Paul says, man, that's what we want. Listen, that is the answer to finding, our answer to finding our unlimited potential that we have in Christ. God is able to do anything. Anything. I am limited, he is unlimited. I don't have the ability, he has all the ability. I don't have the wisdom, he is wisdom. Amen? I don't have all the love, but he has all the love, and he lives in me. Listen, he can do anything. I don't care, anything. There is nothing too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. Like you've heard me say a million times, the word difficult or I don't know what to do, that's not in God's vocabulary. Amen? No, it's not there at all. He says, oh, listen, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we ask or think. For what kind of believer? That's the question we need to ask. For what kind of believer? Well, it's according to how much the Holy Spirit we allow to work in our lives. That's why I told you a minute ago that we need to pray Ephesians 5:18, that obey the commandment, be ye being filled constantly, day by day. That should be the first thing on our prayer. Lord, I want to be filled and flooded with your Spirit. We says this in his studies. He said, the saint determines what God is able to do for him. In his inherent ability, there's no limit to what God can do in and through the saint, but the saint limits the working of God in and through him by the degree of his yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. We cannot, loved one, listen. When you're out in the field, that's where the adventure begins. It's not that out there in the unknown. It's not unknown to God. It's just unknown to the three that are going. God's right there right now. He's already waiting. Amen. There's not a place that he isn't. There are already people that they're going to be meeting. They have no idea who they are, but God does, because God's going to put them in their path. Yeah. Think about that. There are people that are waiting on them. There are people that are waiting on you right through those doors, right out there, your home place, your relatives, your school, colleges, or whatever, your everyday living. You know, when I think about all that God can do, all that he wants to do, and what a privilege it is to experience all of that, and the purpose of it all, watch this now. To him be glory where? In the church. That's us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. That's us forever and ever and ever. Amen. Our purpose, what? Is to say, oh, look what God is doing, and boast about our achievements. No, loved one. No. What is it for? It's to bring him glory and no one else. God gets all of the glory. We are here to glorify our Lord upon this earth. Amen. We're the light. We're the city that cannot be hidden. No, we're to acknowledge our responsibility. We are certainly to reflect it, and we're to make it known. And the church is the only sphere on this earth where the glory of God is exhibited. The church. That's the only place. Now, with all that being said tonight, I want you to look at the verse in 4:1 with me. And look at the cry of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Paul says, therefore, based on that prayer that we just went over, the prisoner of the Lord, remember, he's in Rome, he's in prison in Rome, but he says, I'm not the prisoner of Rome, I'm the Lord's prisoner. I beg you, I plead with you. That's what that word beseech means. I entreat you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. The prayer that Paul just prayed. I pray, he said, I want you to walk worthy of it. Remember what that word worthy is a picture of? It's a picture of, remember, of a set of scales. And they're equal, just set of scales here. And then on one side is doctrine. On the other side is application. And that makes it perfectly balanced. So if you just hear the word of God and you never do the word of God, is it balanced? No, you can't walk worthy of your calling. But when you do the word of God, doctrine, application, and you apply it to your life, you're equal in doctrine, you're equal in application, and what happens? You have a worthy walk that fulfills your calling and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Why not tonight? Why don't we ask him for us by faith to experience all the riches of what we just prayed? All the wonderful things. You know, Jesus said in John 14:13, he said this, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen to this now. If you ask anything in my name, according to his will, of course, anything, I will do it. I'm glad there's a lot of prayers that God didn't answer for me. Amen? Whew. Because they were messed up prayers, you know? Whew. I mean, it's like, thank you, Jesus. But boy, the prayers. You know, it says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, that all that we think according to the power that works in us. What is your most daring request tonight? What is it? Is it healing? Is it depression? Is it addiction? What could it be? What would it be? Has those things, whatever they may be, maybe you can't forgive someone, are those things now bigger than our God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that we ask or think? No. You know what we do? Listen to me, loved one. Oh, thank you for the lights out of my face. You know, we ought to turn those things off. I don't care. Do you? What happens? You know what we do with our issues that we have in our life? Well, and we don't want to be guilty of this. But what we do is we set a limit on what we think God can do. And we're not to do, and remember what it said, I think it's Psalm 78. It says, why do you limit the Holy One of Israel? The word limit means you draw a line right there and say, God, I know that you can do anything in your life, anything. But that's it. Up to this point, maybe. But you can't heal arthritic hands, or you can't heal a person's body, or that whatever I'm facing, or, you know, my husband, he's a jerk. He's always going to be a jerk. You can't touch him. I'll tell you what, he knows how to jerk the knot out. God knows everything. We always want to get ahead of the Lord. We always want to say, I'm going to take matters in my own hands. That's the worst thing we can do, is take matters in our own hands. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Yes. He says, I'm taking it out of your hands because you don't know the facts. You don't know what you're doing anyway. Let me have it. We always want to set a limit. And you know what they limited, the children of Israel? They limited his power. They limited his provision. They literally despised his provision. What is this? This manna. And then he started mixing it with all kinds of other things, baking it this way and cooking it this way, because they didn't like it. They wanted the pots of Egypt, the meat pots, the fish pots, or whatever it was, onions and the leeks and all the other things that cause bad breath. Don't limit God. Don't ever say, God, you can't do this. Don't. He says, listen, he said, I'm your God, and I am the God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even ask. Anything, ask something big enough that I can't do. He says, that is able to do any exceedingly above all that you can even think. You know, finally there comes a point where you say, you know what? I just trust you. And you know what I do? Not that you need to follow my example, because I know I'm weird, but you know what? I believe it's done. When I say, Lord, it's done. I see it done. Yes. When you pray in faith and you believe and you pray the word of God, not your will, his will. When you pray what God says you can have. In his word, the promises of God. I tell you, I believe it's done. No matter how long it takes, I'm not looking at longevity. I'm not looking at time. I'm looking at our God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and all that we can think. How? According to the power that's working right now in our lives. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Here we are in your presence. And you said there is nothing too hard for you. That you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above everything that we could ask, all that we could ask, all that we could think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that you gave to us, that's working in our hearts right now. We believe. We will not limit you. We will not draw a line in the sand and say, God, you can do anything, but you can't cross into that because you're not big enough. I thank you even now that you're touching personal issues, problems, unforgiveness, hurt, bringing healing, bringing hope, depositing wisdom, giving direction, inserting plans, your plans, putting a spring in the step of the saints of God. And I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for Jacob, for Kaylee, for Tyler. Endue them with power from upon high. As we commit to pray daily for them until they come home at the end of July, let every need be met. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. And may they walk in the light. May they follow him. We praise you now. we honor you now, Father, for you are our God who is able. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the church said,